All right, y'all come on in. It is time for Regain. And let me get my screen set up and then I'm gonna do a little I'm gonna do a quick announcement. Sorry. I'm like making the wrong freaking buttons over here. Sorry about that. I just got the sweetest text from my son. He said, we have a new First Watch opening here in Nolensville. And even though I like to support small businesses, some of the small business little restaurants around here, they're great. So we all love First Watch. So he was asking, he said, what do you think when First Watch opens, if we start going there for breakfast, like once a week, and it could be a real cool tradition for us? And I said, I am down. Your mama is down with some pancakes and some time with you. So be cool. All right, let me tell you about our announcement before we get started. Make sure you raise your hand if you're going to want to get coached today. We've got one person so far. Starting next month, we have a new dedicated coach to the Regains. So, Coach Lisa has decided to take on the charge of all the Regain stuff. So, she will be working with people. We may periodically run a group program for anybody who wants help with Regains. She is going to be doing the Regain call. She is going to be the point person and consult the expert or consult the experts. That's the other membership I run as coaches. She will be the point person for that. She has been studying all things Regains with me. She is also right now working on a special project for March for the entire membership around discovery worksheets, where we are going to be releasing a brand new way to do them that is going to be so good. Y'all are going to love it. And it's going to like, there'll be a discovery worksheet for all kinds of problems rather than you having to like do one worksheet for a problem. I have like picked several of the most common problems so that if you're have like let's say you're not stopping at enough, we have a very specially designed discovery worksheet around that. So I think that's going to be a big help for all the regain people, because if you're regaining weight, there's usually something going on there, right? And so she is working with me to design all of those and to come up with what's going to be on them and how we're going to do it and the decision trees and all that stuff. So starting next month, you will have the fabulous Coach Lisa as your point person. And I'm just really excited because now some of the you're going to see more and more of this happening this year, where we're going to just the coaches are now going to be specializing in different topics that matter a lot to all of our members, so that you just have a little bit more direct access, and you have people who like their specialty is this, and this is what they are studying, and this is what I'm giving them trainings on, and this is what when the two of us talk, this is what we jam out on. So lots more stuff coming out this year in that realm, but y'all are getting Coach Lisa. All right, let's go, Alexis. I get you first. I will be doing my Sunday 2 hour, let's just call it a 2 hour call. When do I ever not go the full 2 hours? It's very rare that we don't do full 2 hours with Corinne. I will be doing the big Sunday calls and of course the Corinne 365s. Y'all will still have me. There's four audios a week that are from me. And so you'll still have that daily thing. And then I'm also trying to do a few more spontaneous things where I do a recording for the Facebook group. And then if it sounds like something that we need to put into the replays, sometimes it's so topical, it really just needs to be in the Facebook group for just something that's just like a current event. Doesn't necessarily need to go into the whole thing. But like this Friday's will end up going into the replays. I did a little Facebook video. I just recorded a video on weighing in and some of the questions you need to ask yourself. And the one thing you should never tell yourself, which is slow and steady wins the race. Like, no, it doesn't. I don't think that thought ever comes from anything other than feeling like this isn't good enough. So I did a big talk on that. So if you want to check that out, and then I'm getting the recording for the team so it can release this week inside the replays. All right, Alexis, what are we coaching on today? There you go.
Why I sorry, I'm not in the best light. I'm trying to move
You're
myself
okay.
around so you can see me, but sorry, it's because the window's right behind me. I'm self-destructing. I did it again this morning. I don't know, like I do good for a while. I do really good, and then I don't know, I reach a point, and then I don't know.
So why'd you eat this morning? Because it's
So what
not
happened was
self-destruction.
I
It's a
had.
choice. Like, I just want to help you separate out. When we say I'm self-destructing, how do you feel?
Horrible.
Horrible. So why would we ever want to articulate the problem as horrible? And you've already given your brain a solution. Oh, I know why I'm overeating. I'm just self-destructing. Your brain's like, all right, we don't need to solve that. You gave me a good reason. Let's just keep on doing it. So we just want to really be mindful how we talk about our problems. Because if we're talking about our problems in a very decisive, horrible way, don't be confused as to why you can't figure it out. Because your brain has no motivation to figure it out. It's like, all right, it's just who we are. So, like, let's just look at it. This morning, you made a decision to eat for a reason. And there's probably a great reason underneath it that once we find it, we can meet the real need. Because most people can do good until, like, a lot of times we can white knuckle ourselves for a little while. We can use some willpower for a little while because you'll get to where you feel so horrible about your overeating that now you'll be highly motivated to not do it. And then you'll mitigate some of the damage. You won't feel so horrible about your overeating to where it's like, oh, your brain's like, oh, okay, we don't feel bad. We have no motivation to keep doing this new behavior because we only do this new behavior when we feel like ass. So I got to get you to feel like ass again. So I need to get you to overeat again. I got to get you calling yourself names again so I can get the proper motivation to start again. That's how we get caught in that ugly cycle. And the only way to get out of it is to say, like, there's probably a really good reason why I chose to eat this morning. And when I find that reason, I can help myself. I can unwind things. And figure out how, like, what I actually need so I don't have to keep doing this. So, what do you, why did you, like, tell me what happened this morning?
So I had my breakfast, all good. And as I was having my breakfast, I could tell by the second piece of toast that it was already too much, but I ate it anyway. Okay, all good. And then about an hour later, I hear my husband in the kitchen and he's cooking. And he's an excellent chef, not like me, you know, like where I just do like, you know, super simple stuff. And I wasn't hungry, but I could smell it. And I ate it.
And why do you think you ate it? So we smelled it. We know our husband's an excellent cook, and we also know that you weren't you're 100% sure you weren't hungry.
Oh, I'd had already at this point, I'd had like fruit and eggs and toast and yeah.
But you're 100% sure you're not hungry.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Good to know. So you smell the food, and your husband's cooking and whatnot, and why do you think you decided to eat?
I think I always keep thinking that food is a reward, even though I know that it's not.
But no, that's not true. Food is a
Okay.
reward.
Okay,
It's not a
fine.
great reward, but it is a reward. I mean, we give dogs treats, right?
Right,
For
okay.
doing good behavior. So food for humans also can be a reward, but
Okay, I
like
think I
reward for
know.
what?
I think I know what it is. So, you know, like you guys, like super bad weather, you know, minus 26. Like I haven't, honestly, I haven't left home in a week. You know, just like freezing cold, snow. We hit a record snowfall. And I guess I just did it to numb myself out. That's why I use food. I use food to numb.
To numb from what? This morning, what were you numbing from?
The fact that another day I'm not going to go out because the weather sucks.
Okay, and you make that mean what?
I'm not happy.
So, when you stay home and the weather sucks and stuff, you're unhappy because.
Okay, this is going to sound crazy because I live in Canada. So, how can you not know that it's going to snow, but there's a part of me that, like, you know, if I had the money or if I was an American, I'd go live somewhere south. I don't ever want to see snow as long as I live. So I get really like unhappy with this weather.
So this is what we gotta like think about. Your situation is not going to change.
Right.
There's only one thing that absolutely can change, and what do you think that is?
My thoughts.
Right, your attitude about it. Now, I'm not saying you have to sit there and love it, but definitely sitting around being unhappy about it makes you want to eat. So you have two choices. You can decide, I'm either going to figure out how to have a better attitude about this. Like, this isn't the worst thing ever. It's not my favorite, but I get through it every year. I'm assuming you do. At some
Right.
point in the year, you must have better weather.
Yeah, we have 4 good months. Yeah.
Okay. So you can sit and you can think about that. You can also just decide, you know what, during this time of the year, I am going to be unhappy. I know why. I really don't like the weather. And so knowing that's going to happen, here's what I want to do for myself. Here's how I want to talk to myself through this. Here's how I want to be there for myself. Because right now, you're looking for moments of happiness. That's why you're eating. It's like, well, that'll be fun, you know, because this sucks. So, if we can lessen either the suckitude of which we are allowing ourselves to be in a situation that's not changing, or we can say, like, you know what? I do want to think it sucks. I do not like it. There's no way I could think better about this. So, knowing that I'm going to be in this state and I don't want to be eating over it, how am I going to be there for myself through it? So, which option do you like the best?
Second one.
Okay. So, now all we got to do is we have to just solve like, this is like, how many more months you got of this?
Three.
Okay. So, for the next 3 months, how do you want to be with yourself when you're searching for food, when you are unhappy with the weather, when you're feeling cagey because you haven't been outside in a while? Now, what do you want to be doing for yourself? Because you right now, what you're doing is the food. So you're taking care of yourself. You're taking care of the part of you that's unhappy. We just want to take care of her in a new way.
Right.
So, what do you think?
Well, truthfully, nothing really brings me as much joy as food. Okay, that's not true. Sitting on a beach does, but that's, you know, that's.
Reasonable.
Yeah, reasonable. Okay, not once a year.
Now, I'm going to tell you right now, if you're going to keep the thought, nothing else brings me joy, as much joy as food, you're not going to find an answer.
Okay, yeah.
And I'm going to tell you right now, I don't think the food is bringing you that much joy. Otherwise, you wouldn't be on this call telling
Yeah.
me that you, what did you call it? Self-destructing. Usually, when we have something that's amazing in our life, we don't talk about it like it's self-destructing us. So
Well, that's excellent. Yeah.
I think you need to like challenge that thought of like, this thing I keep saying is making me so happy has a lot of bad consequences. And rather than me thinking this is making me happy, this is bringing me joy, I should probably tell the truth. When I eat, it's because I'm not giving myself any other way to feel happiness. And the what I am giving myself is costing me all of this. And you got to tell yourself that over and over again. The reason why this is important, I'm writing a class for, it's for my business membership. One of the important things in marketing is to show someone how their lack of doing something is actually costing them. So a lot of times people won't want to join a program. They'll be like, well, if I join, it's going to take a lot of time. Like our brain goes to all the reasons why something's like too much. And our brain never thinks about what that choice actually costs us for real. Delayed happiness, years and years and years of struggle, just staying stuck in the same, bitch ass moaning and shit that we're doing all the time. Y'all do the same thing when it comes to food. You tell a delightful story about your overeating. I mean, there's nothing else that brings me joy like that. It's like, well, I don't know. I've never ever described anything in my life that brings me joy as self-destructive
Right, yeah.
and
Wow,
painful.
that's.
So, food doesn't bring me joy. Food numbs me from being unhappy. Food never actually makes me happy. It just distracts me from finding something that will. It delays me figuring out how to live in Canada for the rest of my life, probably. Unless y'all are moving to a beach. Like, food is actually creating a jail for me, a prison of my own making here in Canada. Because if I'm going to be in my house, X amount of months a year, and I don't figure out a way to be here in a new way, food is helping me create a prison.
Right.
Because I am forced to be miserable and then numb. Miserable, then numb, and then I get caught there. Now, if you described it that way, I bet you money that your brain will get hard at work on trying to figure out something new to do. Because what our brain doesn't like is misery. Our brain doesn't like pain. That's why it's eating right now, because you've created so much pain around your situation. It's like, I need to feel better. Now we need to create a lot of pain around the actual problem, which is the eating. So that you can make the most of the situation that you're in as best as you can. Now, I promise you, being stuck in the house in Canada during the winter, you're never going to probably get to a place where you feel as great as you do during the good months of the year, but it doesn't have to feel as bad as it does right now.
Okay. Yeah, that's brilliant. Like it's true. All the other things that I could describe as bringing me happiness, they don't like bring me pain. They're not self-destructive.
Yeah, I always like to think of food as more like a numbing agent.
Yeah, that's
It's
how I
like if,
envision it.
yeah, it's like just imagine if you had like a bad shoulder. And or let's say that somebody stuck a knife in your shoulder. You can put a numbing agent on it and feel nothing. And then walk around for months with a knife jutting out of your shoulder, and you are constantly going from extreme pain to numbing agent. The only solve is to go to the fucking hospital, get that knife taken out, sew that son of a bitch up, and get on rehab. And then you're gonna feel better. But that's what we do with food. Food is like the numbing agent that we keep putting on these big ass wounds in our life. And we wonder why, like, why is the wound not getting better? It's because we're not taking care of the wound. We're just numbing the pain of the wound, and it won't go away unless we do something about it. And then for you, it's articulating this different and thinking about it different and deciding, how do I want to be there for myself? Is it as bad as I make it? Because sometimes what we do too is when we're in situations, like we dogpile on it. It's like, it's no fun to be inside, but then the next thing you know, you're like thinking, and this, and this, and this, and this. And it's just like you just get into a rut of bitching about it. When it's like, it's not all bad, but we get to where we only see the bad. And so we have to turn our brain on for like, what is good about the winter? I mean, hell, if it was me next week, I'd say like, hey, you gonna be cooking on Sunday? Let me know. I'm waiting on you. Because you cook better than I do.
Yeah, and I guess what I have to do is change my identity because it's true. I always think that I'm a self-sabotager, but maybe I should just say, no, I'm just trying to escape my pain.
Yeah. Self-sabotage is a lot. I think most people don't really understand self-sabotage. Self-sabotage is I'm gonna kill this positive thing because I'm so afraid of what's on the other side of it. So for like a lot of people, they will sabotage their diet because the smaller they get, like let's say that you're a huge introvert and like people talking to you embarrasses the shit out of you and stuff like that. So a lot
Okay,
of
I
times
get it.
when
Yeah, I'm not a
yeah, a lot of times
self-sabotager. Yeah.
yes, if they're losing weight and then suddenly people are saying things to them, the next thing you know, they're regaining the weight because they don't want the attention. So self-sabotage is usually I'm going to do some behavior because on the other side of that behavior, I actually fear this thing. So if I'm losing weight, there's usually something we fear. If you have an extreme fear of regaining your weight, the smaller you get, a lot of times people will stop losing weight because they'll get to a level of weight loss where they feel comfortable, that they feel like they won't regain. But if they got smaller, they're so terrified that they would regain, they'll literally stall their weight loss for it. Because losing any more will challenge them. It just brings up more and more fear as they go along. So that's a lot of times self-sabotage has more to do with I'm so afraid of this, I will stop progress here because I'm afraid of this imaginary thing on the other side. And I think with you're not being self-sabotaging. I don't think you're self-destructing. I think you're just not happy. And so you're eating. And so like for you, I just want you to dig more into don't be quick. This is for everyone. Don't be quick to assume that the reason why you're not stopping it enough is because, well, I'm bad. I'm wrong. like something's broken in me. It's like, no, there's always a good reason. That's why I'm asking the question of, like, if we were going to find a really good reason as to why we were eating, what would that be? Like, what is our brain thinking that, oh, if you eat, this makes sense because if you eat, this will help you with. Like, always, that's the answer. I do not think any of us are eating. It's just like, even when people eat for punishment, it feels relieving because if they eat to punish themselves, they're getting what they think they deserve. They think they deserve to feel bad because they already messed up. And they've got to complete that cycle. And completing a cycle feels really good. You might not be happy, but you feel like you closed your loop. Okay?
Great. Wow. I hope that's not what it is in my case.
I
I'm
don't
wondering.
know. That's not it. That I was just trying to give an example of like all the different ways that people do things. I don't think yours is that. I think right now it's probably a lot of like, I don't like being stuck in my house. And so I do really good because I don't like being overweight and I don't like my overeating. So I don't like that a lot. So now I'm numbing with being good. I'm numbing with a diet. And then when I'm like, oh, okay, I'm kind of on a roll, but I'm sitting here really miserable because I'm stuck inside the house. Well, now I got something else making me miserable. So now let me go over here and eat. So then I eat until I'm miserable with my weight. Then I go back over here. So we just kind of hop back and forth. And it's like, all right, the best way we can interrupt the pattern is like, it's interrupt the pattern on the unhappy side about your situation and stuff and how you're going to take care of yourself. And then we're going to eat the way we want to eat, not because we're so miserable with our weight. We're going to eat the way we want to eat because now we have a really good reason to, because this is what we want. We've really laid that out. We don't have to bounce back and forth anymore.
This
Okay.
was so helpful. Thank you so, so much. Wow. Like, yeah, that bell went off when you said that. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you. Bye-bye. Amber? Colleen, attention, compliments, a lot of people self-sabotage. We used to have a course, a self-sabotage course way back in the day. We don't have it anymore, I don't think. One of these days I'll dust that thing back off, but I need to rewrite. I mean, it is ancient, and my knowledge and my ability to help with that has grown. So I wouldn't even want to release it unless I took a good fresh look at it. All right, Amber, what can I help you with?
Hi, can you hear me all right? All
Yes, ma'am.
right, sorry, my heart's like pounding. I was like, there's no way. But I've been jotting some notes. A lot of that connects with me too. So I've regained about 35 pounds this last year. Lost a pregnancy. So kind of a lot of what I'm struggling with right now is it was I know it was numbing the pain, the grief of the loss. That's kind of how I managed it. And I'm finally getting to the place now where I'm kind of ready to sit with that and confront it and try to work through it.
Okay.
But I've also noticed that I've started I haven't been at this weight for about 5 years now, and I've noticed I'm getting back into those habits where I'm beating myself up again and things like that because I did not think I'd be this emotional. But it's one of those things where I've started to use it too because I'm like, oh, well, maybe I can't get pregnant now because I'm overweight again. So I think I'm just looking for maybe workshop some ways to start moving in a better direction again with my mentality regarding this.
Okay, so tell me what you really would love from this session.
I think maybe just some things I could start to work on, just like some action. Just, I think I'm a little lost right now in myself a bit, I guess. Like I don't know what to do next. Like just like a little thing that I can work to do a little better on.
And work to do better on what? Like, because you've given me several things. Like, there's regain, there's the I'm ready to sit with the miscarriage. There is, I guess it's kind of like self-loathing or beating yourself up over regaining weight going on. So, what, like, when you think, like, I think it would be most helpful to do this on this call.
Okay. Maybe just sitting with the grief.
Okay. So what does that look like to you? Like, well, or tell me this. No, I like that question. What does sitting with your grief right now, currently, what do you think that looks like?
Immediately, kind of what comes to mind is instead of avoiding, is actually just, I suppose, just kind of reflecting on it.
Okay. That would look like what?
I guess I've started journaling a little bit more again, so maybe it's just expressing emotions. Like I felt like a lot of anger, fear about the future. Just sort of all
What do
things.
you most feel right now about it?
Still just a deep sadness.
That's the predominant feeling.
Currently, yeah. This last week it was anger because I'm like, man, I guess one thing that really got me this last week, I was like, how many times people are like, you just need to de-stress, like I work, I'm a union president, I'm a student, like I do all these things. And they're like, well, if you would just de-stress, like you guys could get pregnant again and you could start to move on. And I was like, are you telling my husband this? So
So what makes you angry about that advice?
I guess just that to me, that it's, I think it's the responsibility, and it's probably the responsibility I place on myself to get pregnant again. It's almost like if I'm not doing everything, and that includes losing weight, because I've plateaued finally. So I was like, well, that's a win. I have been gained weight for a few months, so I was pleased with that. But it feels like if I'm not doing everything to lose weight and better those chances again, like maybe I don't want it enough.
Okay, let's start there. That's a great place to start. Let me ask you this. On a scale of 1 to 10, how bad do you want a baby? With 10 being like, oh my God, life's dream. Like, I need to have a baby. And 1 being like, eh, no.
At this exact moment, I'd say like an 8, because I think I'll always have thoughts. I was like, oh, the normal stuff, like, what if I'm a bad parent? What if I do it and then we go, oh
Well,
no, this.
erase all that. Let's just say if you could have a baby tomorrow and you were going to be an excellent parent, how bad would you want a baby?
Pretty bad. Like,
10?
it. Probably not quite a full 10, but like an 8 or 9.
Okay. So here's what you can remind yourself that when you're not losing weight or whatever, this has nothing to do with not wanting it bad enough. This is one of the biggest lies women tell themselves when it comes to losing weight, is that we equate our, like, what we're doing to lose weight as if it's a want problem. I've never met a woman in any situation ever who wanted to lose weight that didn't want it so bad they could taste it. Same thing if you want a baby. Now, we have a lot of reasons why it's hard for us to lose weight. It has nothing to do with your prioritizing wanting to be a mother. This is not a moral issue. And when you say, I don't want it bad enough, I must not want this bad enough, you are saying, it's almost like saying, and I'm a bad person because of it. Because if I really wanted a baby, I'd be losing weight. It's like, no, you can really want a baby and you can be dealing with a miscarriage and the emotions of it, and food be the only thing that's getting you through that all at the same time. And we need to put that space in there for you. That's like one thing that we need to work on, because you said, I'm beating myself up. This is a version of beating yourself up. This is like making yourself wrong or bad because the emotional part of you is still trying to heal. And as it is right now, it's healing with food. That's the one way it knows to do it. The emergency in the room is your grief. And when you are in an emergency, the brain's job is not to be logical. The brain's job is not to like prioritize your weight loss. The brain's job is not to do all that. The brain's job is to say, you are in pain and I need to get you out of it. Period. End stop. And so what we want to do is we want to look at your pain and figure out other ways to lessen it, other ways to feel it, and to cut out unnecessary pain, which is something like, oh, you must not want it bad enough. It's like your brain making fun of you. It's like bullying you. That's unnecessary suffering that we just don't need. And we just have to call it out and say, like, look, I can really want a baby and I can also have a really hard time losing weight because I'm still emotionally eating. Two things can be true at one time. And that will alleviate, like when people say, like, you just need to de-stress. Like, look, motherfuckers. I could just de-stress so easy. Don't you think I'd be doing it? I always love when people say stuff like that. I'm like, oh my God, if everybody could just de-stress, we would all be doing it. It's like nobody's just choosing to be this way. No wonder you're angry. I'm angry on your behalf. So let's think about this. We're going to sit with grief. And that means we're going to be reflecting on it. Which means we're going to be looking at What are we grieving? There's going to be things that we're grieving that make complete sense and that we're still actively doing. There's going to be things that we are doing that masks this grief, that is unnecessary suffering. It's not part of clean grief. It's not part of real sadness. And there's going to be some parts that you're going to realize you've probably already moved through. Because if you're already wanting another baby, there are some things you've probably moved through already that you can tell yourself. Rather than, I need to sit with my grief, you might want to say, I want to find the parts of my grief I need to work on. I think I'm actually moving through grief already. When I say all that, what comes up for you?
I actually really like that last part. I think because, like, there's definitely pieces I have already moved through quite a bit with my partner. I guess maybe too, part of it, I just feel impatient sometimes. Like, I don't know that this will ever go away. The
The grief,
sadness.
the sadness. Well, let's say it never does. How do you want to be there for yourself, knowing that? Let me just say this. This is total opinion. This is not coaching. My grandmother died and she was in her 70s. She lost a baby when she was young. It was my mother's, the middle child between my uncle and my mother. He was 9 months old. She never got over it. Now, she lived a long, full life. She was a wonderful grandmother. I never even knew that man. I mean, my mother wasn't even born when he died. But I watched her grieve him every year. And she was okay. And she just knew it was a normal part of being a mother. And, even with a miscarriage. So you were a mother. I don't know if you're ever supposed to get over it. And maybe that's okay. Because if you know how to be there for yourself in your sadness, you don't feel as impatient. You don't need it to go away. It arrives when it needs to be seen, and it leaves when it feels resolved. And you'll never know your triggers, and it'll be weird things probably for the rest of your life. I've known a lot of women who've had miscarriages. My best friend, and it's I just don't think you get over that stuff. I think you get better with it. So if we were just gonna, I didn't mean to start crying on you with your grief. I'm over feeling sad with you now. Let's just think about for the next 30 days, keep it a short window. How do you want to go through your next 30 days knowing that you want to be with your sadness.
I think even just like giving myself the time to acknowledge it, even if it's just like if it's journaling, if it's painting a little bit, it's just slowing down enough when I need to just stop and kind
And
of.
what will it take for you to slow down to do that stuff? What are you going to have to overcome that's going to make you, because if you were going to, you would have already slowed down, and it's like usually when someone says, well, I would be doing this, it usually means I know this is what I need. And something usually stops me from giving me what I need. So let's figure what that is so that we can actually get to the giving.
I think Part of it is I genuinely do have a lot of responsibilities on my plate. But one thing I can do at least to give myself even just like a couple extra evenings is share that responsibility, like for my presidency, like allow others to take on more issues that come up in our day to day and ask them to cover those things so I can have that other.
Are these people capable?
Yes.
Okay, so we've got the biggest box checked, which is other people can absolutely do this. Okay, because usually I do a lot of leadership training and I do a lot of studying on leadership. I was actually reading an email this morning that I saved because it was so good, but it was talking about this very thing about like when you're the head of something, you know, for you, you're gonna have to show up differently, not only for yourself, but you're also gonna have to show up differently in your responsibilities, which usually means I have to ask for help. And if I ask for help, do I have capable people around me? And if I don't, what do I need to do to make them capable so that I can free this time up for myself? So you don't even have to worry about that. It's gonna be like for you. Let's say you want to have a couple of evenings where you can just like, this is when I'm going to spend time with myself. This is where I'm going to like do some healing work with myself. What's going to come up for you on asking for that help? Like, is it going to be easy or hard?
It's probably going to be hard. I've never been all that great at asking for help. I know
That's
that
okay. We can always learn how to ask for help.
I, yeah, that's what I've been trying to do, even little things. Like I always feel, you know, it's always the story we tell ourselves. Like I should be doing more. I should be able to handle this. In reality, it's part of being a leader is sharing the responsibility.
The best leaders are the ones that have a lot of people around them that can step in for them at any moment. That means you're a real leader. Otherwise, you're a manager. There's a difference between being a leader and a manager. A manager is just making sure everybody's doing their things, but the manager has to be there to keep everything going. So everything is very dependent upon that one person never going down, which means that whatever you're leading, now you've increased the risk of failure 100 times. You are one accident away from everything going south. You're, you know, just, I mean, it's literally, it's like my worst fear is something happening to me because I have not offloaded enough stuff yet to make sure that we have more people on this team who can do what Corinne does. And that's like my task this year is to be a true leader, not just the face and boss. Because I want no BS to go on but long after me. But if it's all built around everything I do, the second I get tired, burnt out, hit by a bus, whatever happens, then all of you are just like screwed, screwed, because it will fall apart in like a matter of a month. So for you, it's just thinking and reminding yourself, like, this is not only me giving myself space, but this is probably the next evolution of me being a true leader, a real president, a person who makes sure that other people can do what I do better than I can.
Yeah, no, I really like that. I think I'm gonna re-listen to this. I'll write that on a little sticky note. Just as a good reminder to myself.
Yeah, because it's such a, it's gonna like really hamper your ability to lead yourself through your grief if you can't let other people take over some responsibilities. That doesn't make you lazy. It doesn't make you anything other than like willing to not to make a like a stronger organization where you are. But you need this. You've said, like, if I had a couple of nights a week where I can sit and really think this through, this would really help me.
Yeah.
Is there any other bullshit going on there that we need to know about?
Not a lot. Like, I know, I mean, it's one of those things where, like, our organization, we had someone step down a while ago now. So there wasn't a lot of organization to it. So we've been rebuilding it. But I mean, I really do feel very confident in our people. I just need to get to asking for that help
Yeah.
and reminding myself that it's a good thing for the organization and for myself.
Yeah. Let them show you what they're made of. The only way we know what people are made of is by giving them a chance. You know, you're not ever going to know what people are made of by holding all the responsibility yourself. The worst time to figure out if people can really step up and really hold things together is in an emergency. That is the worst time. So this sounds like not only is it going to be beneficial for you, it could be beneficial to the things that are important to you also. Now, throughout all this, when it comes to the weight loss side, I would highly encourage you to get back to your basics. Not to do them perfectly, but so that while you're doing all this healing and grieving, you can see when you're still eating over your grief. And you can, it will help you speed up the process of knowing where you're still hurting, where you're still holding on to maybe pain you don't need to hold on to anymore. You know, just like that one thing we talked about. If you're eating past enough because you feel like, what was it that we were talking about? Oh my gosh, not it being your fault. Something about the regain. I
Oh,
can't quite, but go ahead.
I must not want a baby enough.
Right. So if you were eating past enough and you were reflecting on why you were eating past enough, and one of the things that was popping out in your brain is, I must not want this bad enough, then you could heal that piece real quick because you could challenge the thought and say, like, really? Do I not want either one of these bad enough? It's like, I feel like I want both of them. So the problem isn't my want and my desire. The problem has to be something else. And I wonder what that is. And then we get to the real problems. That's why I love the basics for everyone, because the more you do the basics are not about a practice of perfection and getting them right. The real power of the basics is showing you all these things that are going on in life that you're not addressing, and you're addressing them with food. But then you've got these broken, like, just imagine if you spent the next 2 years eating. Every time you thought you didn't want it bad enough, you would just be stuck in that. You'd spend 2 years of your life feeling like you don't want things bad enough when that's not even the truth. And so, if we are not using our basics and we're not noticing when we're eating past enough, eating when we're not hungry, snacking, blowing our plans and stuff, we never find out the truth of our life. We never find out what's really going on for us. And we just keep lying to ourselves. And most of our lies feel awful. Our lies never feel good. Like sitting around thinking you don't want it bad enough. How does I don't want it bad enough feel? Give me one word.
Awful.
Awful. So then we just spend a lot of time feeling awful. And then the more awful we feel, guess what we do? We need to eat more. So we get stuck in these cycles, and that's what happens when y'all abandon your basics. You also abandon seeing all the things in life you can be working on and improving. And you just settle for a life of numbing and getting through the day and then feeling terrible about all your choices. It just sucks. I don't want that for anybody. So do your basics. And then what I would do if I was you is, as you're tracking this, the things like watch out for things that you think are just true. Almost everything you will write down will not be true. They will only feel true. They will not be facts. Take those things to ask coaches, because we see the difference between what you feel is true and what is your story that feels true. Like, we see that stuff pretty clearly because we're not in your mess. Like, I'm not sitting around with the enormity of a miscarriage and all the feelings that come with it. And all of those feelings are wanting to get resolved. And so your brain is just making up story after story after story to explain why this happened. Is there anything going on for you on that end where you're taking self-blame for it? Because sometimes when people have miscarriages, they, especially women, we take it, it's like, if it's my fault, then somehow I can, control things. Except when we take fault and it's not really our fault, we feel like ass.
Yeah, no, I know. I noticed I did a little bit, but I'm very lucky. I have a partner who's very open to sitting down and us talking about that sort of thing. I've noticed it start to crop back in with like not being able to get pregnant. Like that is my fault, is what I think I might have mentioned. Like I keep blaming it on the weight gain currently, but I know that's not necessarily
What has your doctor said about your weight in regards to getting pregnant?
honestly, they haven't said anything.
Right.
So
So, because women of all sizes get pregnant.
yeah.
Okay. It's very convenient when you need an explanation as to why, like, this is where our brains love to. Okay. It must be my fault. It's got to be because I'm fat. That's it. That's why I'm not able to get pregnant. Because then your brain's like, close the loop. Like, we have an answer.
So we'll
And
focus.
it's not motivated at all to come up with other things. It's not motivated at all to come up with better thoughts because it's closed the loop. And this thought feels like shit. And we don't even know it's true.
Yeah, we
Like,
really.
just imagine it probably has nothing to do with your weight.
Yeah, I do try to remind myself of that, that people get pregnant all the time at all weights. So.
I do. Do you know what the hardest thing to do is? To have no reasonable explanation.
Yeah, that hits hard.
Yeah, it is real easy to just take the blame and to feel bad because that has certainty behind it. Brains hate uncertainty, hate it with a passion. That is why we will explain things at our detriment just to close a loop. What it doesn't like is for you to sit there and say, like, look, we don't know when we'll get pregnant. It could be tomorrow, it could be in a year. I'm just going to believe it's happening. And I'm going to work on believing it's going to happen every day, no matter how much my brain fights me on it. If I have to remind it 1,000 times a day, I'm going to remind it, hey, I never know when it's going to happen, because that is literally the truth. You do not know when it will happen. You don't know if it will or won't happen. And you, to say, I'm going to get so good at uncertainty. Because the truth is, I can't predict the future. Now, if I want to stack odds in my favor, if I think losing weight will help, I'll do that. But it may or may, like, you have to do the uncertainty there. It may or may not. And,
Yeah.
like, the most power that we ever have is when we just decide to believe what we want to believe, because between you and getting pregnant, or not getting pregnant. Let's just say we're going to have a timeline of a year. And at the end, you will or will not be pregnant. Okay. No matter what if you decide between now and then to 1,000% believe in it, same outcome. You can decide between now and then to be miserable as fuck about it, same outcome. The journey there is what you will decide it will be. And it will take work to believe in it. It will take work to stay positive. It will take work to stay out of the deuter. It will take work to stay out of blame. It will also take work to tell yourself, I am done trying to predict the future with this. Because it doesn't matter what I decide. It really matters what I want to believe on the way there. Because I guarantee you, I coach this in all kinds of situations. Whether you worry yourself all the way to getting pregnant, you're going to be like so happy when it happens. Or you could have believed all the way there. If we worry all the way to a day where it's like, nope, it's not going to happen, you're going to be just as devastated. It's not like you're going to be like, well, I feel pretty good about it because I predicted that one. And then you're just like, now on to my merry way to do other things. Like, that will never happen. We con ourselves into believing that we are somehow preparing ourselves for when we are going to feel bad. It's like, no, I've never seen anybody feel less bad at the end. They always, like, they might say, I knew it, and then they just spiral out. So
No.
you will feel what you're going to feel at the end, no matter what. The way there is all within your control.
No, I think you definitely hit the nail on the head with the uncertainty. I think I've mentioned that. Well, my therapist has mentioned that in therapy before. She's like, helplessness. She's like, you really don't like it, do you? I'm like, no. Oh. And I think it really applies for this too.
Yeah, nobody likes helplessness. And we just have to know that. Like I always just say, there's no human that likes to feel helpless. And so I just always tell myself when I am in helpless moments and just say, like, yeah, and I'm not supposed to like it. But I'm also not supposed to destroy my life over it either. This is where I accept that there are just times in life where I can't control things, but I get to control me. That I get to control. I get control how I think and feel about this. So one thing that no one can ever take away from me, my favorite book in the world is Man's Search for Meaning. And it was written by Viktor Frankl. He was in if you've read it, if you haven't read it, it's a great book, but he was in a concentration camp and his family was killed, all kinds of stuff. And while he was there, he was like, they can take everything away from me, including my life, but what they can't take away from me is what I do inside my mind. I get to believe anything I want. I get to think anything I want. They can't take that away. And that is what got him through it. And it's so true. It's the one place we get to feel helpful for ourselves, and we forget about it just because our mind is on, your mind's just fast. It's going to throw out all of its old thoughts. But it's on us to decide what we want to believe about things over and over and over again. Okay.
All right.
All
Thank
right.
you.
Good luck. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. All right. Katie.
There we go.
Hey Katie, how are you? Long time
Well,
no see.
I know, right? Well, that's because I've had quite the year, Corinne.
Right.
So I was at my goal weight. I've been around for like 7 years now, got to my goal weight, stayed there for years, and then had a really big life change over the last, what, 15, 16 months now, and gained 20 pounds back. I have been working on a lot of different things. And I think that could be part of the problem. It's like I get going, I'll lose about 5 or 6 pounds, and then something else will happen and I'll go back up again. So I've been playing with these 20 pounds now. It started as, 10 pounds that I was playing with, and it was 15 pounds I was playing with. Now I'm playing with 20 pounds. I did the regain reset, so I'm on week two of that. I just looked at all my January data. I'm up
1.8 pounds. So again, at my highest that I've been since, I don't know, May of 2019, probably. And all my data percentages went up this month, which was good, not to where I set my goal. But I just feel like I get going and I start to see some success, and then I slide back again.
Why do you slide back?
It's just emotional. It's just
Okay.
doing, I mean, a lot of
But what, like, what are you emotionally eating over?
well, we've been trying to we relocated to be closer to my daughter. We've been trying to sell our house. It's been on the market for 310 days now. Ocean view, beautiful. Anybody wants to move to the Oregon coast, let me know. And it's just been that, like, we're living in this little one bedroom apartment. We haven't been in a one bedroom apartment since 1987. And you know, in a new job, which I love. So there's so many good things, close to my grandchild, close, you know, being where I want to live, in a great job. But you know, every time somebody comes through the house and the house doesn't sell, I'm like, we are never getting rid of this house. And we're trying to build a new one here. So we're working, you know, so it's finances, it's emotion, it's all
But
of
what is
those
the
things.
emotion, though?
The emotion is fear.
Okay.
It's
And what are you
big
most afraid of?
that we are just going to lose everything because we can't get rid of this house.
And is it so? Because I don't know the facts of your finances and stuff. Is it true that if the house doesn't sell for another year, you're going to lose everything?
No. No, we'll remain living in this apartment. We'll remain paying the mortgage on that. We'll lose the house we're building, but that would be the
Okay.
only thing we'd lose.
Okay, so you're not going to lose everything.
No.
Okay. I just want to make
But
sure because that was you said my major fear is that we're not going to sell this house and we're going to lose everything. That is the story in your mind right now.
yeah, and for sure. And in addition to, like, it's all my fault type of thing, because I'm the one that wanted to move and be here and be close, and which we did, you know, we did all the things. I'm like, this is gonna work. We'll sell the house, we'll get a job, we'll be gone within 6 months, life is beautiful. It took us a year and a half. But we're 75% of the way there. I think that's the thing that I'm so frustrated with myself about, is I journal about that every day. Like, here are all the amazing things that are happening. And
Let's journal about the not amazing things.
well, I've been
Okay.
doing
This is what I watch a lot of
that
y'all do. Y'all want to go to rainbow and daisy thoughts, and you want to stay over in the land of happy, and you want to say, like, and here's all the great things. I think that's great if it's not distracting you from working on the real issues. There is nothing wrong with facing your fears and looking at what's not great. It doesn't discount the good stuff, but for some of you use the good stuff journaling and you use the good stuff focus like you use a sleeve of Oreos. It's like, well, I don't want to think about the bad things. That'll make me eat more. And I'm like, I don't know. It looks like you're eating and you're over here thinking about only the good things. You're not addressing the elephant in the room.
I think that is my thought, though. If I journal about, I mean, because I have ranted, I've ranted to my accountability group, I've ranted in my journal, and then that is where I see that then I just am eating more, and then I'm like, oh, you can't do that. That's, you know, that's
I
not
don't think you're
helping
eating
you.
more because of ranting. I think you're eating more because you believe your rants. Like, we'll lose everything. And then all I did was ask you one fucking question. Like, well, no, we wouldn't lose everything. We'd have to stay in this apartment. We wouldn't be able to have this new house. I wouldn't love it, but we're not going homeless.
No, we're not going homeless.
There's a difference between, like, and I just want you to think about this. This sounds nuanced, okay? But this is where thought work really happens, is in the nuances. If you don't tell yourself the truth, your brain believes your lies. So if you're only allowing yourself to think, this is all my fault and we're going to lose everything, that feels devastating. Feels horrific.
That is it right there. It does
Devastating.
feel devastating.
Now, If we tell ourselves, we won't lose everything. We just won't have that new house. We will be in this one bedroom apartment. And we will be here as long as it takes until that other house is sold. It doesn't feel amazing, but we don't feel devastated anymore. And when our brain, like when you just allow catastrophic truths, you're going to get catastrophic reactions like quick, stat, Twinkies, please, as many as you can shove in. Like we've got to turn the temperature down on your story. And the only way to turn the temperature down is not to go to, here's everything that's a perfect, and I should just be like over here in my gratitude and like that is like hysterical energy. Like that's why it doesn't work. It's because when you're over here trying to just like wallpaper over a big fucking hole in the wall, well, everybody knows there's a hole in the wall. You know it. That's why it doesn't hurt us to admit the truth, because when we admit the truth of what's going on for us, then we are allowed to tell ourselves a different truth, a more neutral truth, a less devastating truth. Because I would rather just see you leveling up your catastrophic thoughts than for you to ignore them, thinking they're harming you, and over here in fairyland. While your body is still experiencing everything you believe, whether you write it down on paper and tell your friends and neighbors about it, doesn't matter. In your mind, it's very real back in there.
Well, and that's true. And I watched Kathy's nervous system videos this week because I did recognize that. I did recognize that, I am always way above home base. Like I am, bleh. It, like you said, it's just that just yucky energy. And so that helps. So I printed some things out. I've been doing the ground, activities, which are helping. But I think, I think that is the problem though. Is I do still have those thoughts that are just dragging me back.
Tell me about this. Why are you saying this is all my fault?
Well, because I had an amazing job and I quit it so that we could move, and I wasn't able to get a pair, a similar job. So now I'm making a lot less than I made, and which is fine. I love my job, and that hasn't been a problem for us.
So why are you acting like it is a problem then when you tell me? Like
Because
you're telling me the story as if this is a problem, and then you tell me it's really not a problem. Is it a
because
problem or not?
it's a problem in my brain.
Okay, that's a much better thought to have. Let me tell you why. Because now you're saying this is not a real problem, this is an imagined problem. It is not a problem that I make less money. In my brain, I've made it into a problem. Why? Why are you deciding that making less money to you is a problem? That's what we want to figure out. You've got so many layers of shit you're telling yourself. I don't even think you realize how many things you're like in contradiction on. And it's no wonder it feels exhausting and you want to eat because it's like, on one hand, well, we're not going to lose everything, but yeah, we are. Well, I shouldn't, it's all my fault. I shouldn't have left this high paying job, except we didn't really need it. It's like okay that I make less money.
And that's what I go back and forth on all the time. I am bouncing between those things all the time.
Like when
I
you
need
say
to figure
bouncing, what
out a
does that
way
mean
to,
to you?
it means that one day I can think everything's fine. This is going fine. See, here are all the facts that everything's fine. The next day, it's like, and yet, if I hadn't have done this, blah, 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 we wouldn't be here. And it's just that is the exhausting part.
Okay, so it's exhausting because you haven't figured out how to be there for yourself when your brain wants to take blame and when your brain wants to make this a catastrophe. That's the missing piece.
So how do
Because
I do
here's what's, so let me tell you what's happening, okay? When we are on the cusp of believing new things, The old thoughts are still hanging on. The brain does not like to retire old thinking. It literally thinks you're going to need it. And it thinks that, like, it probably right now has a strong payoff other than food that it's getting from believing that you've made a big mistake. It's trying to explain why that house is not sold. Well, it's because it's your fault. I mean, you shouldn't have done this and you shouldn't have done that and blah, 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 blah. Problem solved. Now we know why the house isn't, it hasn't sold. Certainty, check the box. It's like the house hasn't sold because the house hasn't sold. It's not because Katie screwed up. It could be the market. It could be a million things that's the reason why the house hasn't sold. It doesn't have to be only Katie screwed up. Okay, so our brains get a payoff for hanging on to old thoughts and they don't want to die. So what most of y'all miss out on is when we're in the ping pong, when we're like one day we're like, oh my gosh, actually I'm starting to believe all these things. Like this is actually okay and this is a great decision for these reasons. The next day, it's all doo-doo. Shouldn't have happened this way. This is some crap. On that day, we want to decide. Now, when my brain is having a bad day, when it wants to take the blame and it wants to tell me that we're going to lose everything, now, how do I want to be there for Katie? Because right now, you're just like, you're damn straight. This is all my fault. We should go get some food. That's what we're going to do. We're going to eat over this. Like, that's how you're being there for yourself. We just want to decide this is going to, like, this collection of story isn't going away anytime soon. It's either going to go away when the house sells, which would be miraculous because then we can just dead stop all of our thought work. But if the house doesn't sell, it's going to go away when you have been there for yourself so many times when those thoughts have come up with grounding techniques and saying, like, you know I do this about every other day. Today is the day where I think it's all falling apart. Today is the day I notice that I think that I shouldn't have done this and I shouldn't have done that. So I need to be patient with myself today. I'm probably going to need to like do some more deep breathing today. I'm not going to just be able to operate as normal. I might need to take a couple small breaks, like 2 to 3 minute breaks, to go reset myself in the potty if need be at work. Because today is the day everything feels heavier than usual. So, what do I need on my heavy days that I know I can do for myself? Because those days are just coming. Then, eventually, when you're there for yourself, the habit starts kicking in. When you're there for yourself over and over again in a new way, you now have trained yourself. Anytime in life you have heavy days, you now say, like, oh, this is a heavy day. This is a day where everything feels like it's falling apart. And now I know what to do. Like I just inherently know. I have those days. Like, God damn, the last couple of years have been rough in the online business. I mean, we have technical changes, AI changes. We have buyer behavior changes. We have had unprecedented changes to where, like, I feel like I have had to relearn business over 10 times in the last 2 years. And I wake up every day not knowing whether it's going to be like Corinne is changing the world or Corinne is losing everything. It's like rolling the bones. Who knows who's showing up today? I can't wait to meet her. And I've gotten really good at calming my nervous system, knowing what I need on the bad days, knowing how to get refocused quickly. Because my tendency isn't to eat anymore. I just have other self-destructive behaviors. Like I spent the last year. Oh my God, if y'all saw my step average, you would be appalled. I will go to the gym and lift weights, but I mean, hell, this week, I bet you my average is 2,000 steps a day. And that's probably because yesterday I actually got to six. I had a couple that were really low, but like I get so worked up that I get into work and I get tunnel vision and I cancel plans. And I just sit all day and I don't shower for a couple of days. I don't speak. I barely notice my son. Like I get so tunnel vision, and then I'll come out of the fog, and then I feel terrible about myself. And that has been my last 2 years, back and forth. And I have just decided the internet's not changing anytime soon. It's probably just going to get worse now with AI. Everything's going to keep changing. So I got to figure out how I'm going to be there for me when I'm frustrated and I'm angry and I'm scared. Because that's my three predominant feelings every, like about every 2 days. So that's what you've got to do. We're going to continue to work on like, what are the things that I'm currently believing where I can find space? That is where your journaling comes in. So like we have one already that we have clearly laid out. We now know that on the bad days, instead of saying, I'm going to lose everything, I'm going to remind myself, I may lose the house we're building, but I will have a home. We will not go homeless. We will be safe. I may just not like our lifestyle. And I'll figure that out. That is more soothing and calming. Does it feel like, oh boy, everything's going to work out and I'm going to have a brand new house? Like, no. But it doesn't feel catastrophic and devastating. And then we decide on those days, like, I'm going to remind myself of this stuff, but I'm going to do these things. Like before if I catch myself eating, what can I do when I catch myself eating? If I do end up eating, what do I need to learn from it? I do not need to tell myself that's okay. I don't need to blow smoke up my ass. What I need to do is say, hey, we eat for reasons. We are on the hunt to figure out what's going on for us. Because I'm going to lose this 20 pounds. And I know it's emotional. And I don't have to blow smoke up my ass. Two things can be true at once. There's a reason, and that I did it. Like, I don't have to just say it's okay. Now, you can tell yourself it's okay if you tend to just go into beat down land. That's a great first step for people who are beating themselves up. But when you're pretty evolved like you are, I think you need to lean less on rainbows and daisy thoughts. And so, like, where is the happy middle? Where is the truth? Like, I need to challenge myself to look more at the thoughts I'm more afraid of and get better at leveling them up a little bit at a time. And no, like, I am going to think horse shit. I'm going to think this is all my fault. I'm going to think that taking a job that makes less money is somehow bad for whatever reason you've created. You need to find out, why do I think that's so bad? Because if it actually is financially okay for us and it was a conscious decision, then my ego is probably now the thing that's bruised. It's not really anything else. And
Oh,
our
for
ego
sure.
doesn't like being bruised, it hates it.
Sure. I mean, for sure that's a piece of it. And I just think the other thought that I have around that is I was so cocky to think that I could just easily get another similar job. I think that's the other one that.
I would just be like, yeah, I was cocky. I'd rather be cocky looking for a job than to be low self-esteem Katie.
Yeah, that's true. Which I
I
was
mean,
years ago, right?
right. I mean, be co like, I was cocky. I was just wrong.
Yeah.
I thought I would get this job, this kind of job. I was just wrong, but I would much rather have been looking for this job full of belief and full of cockiness. Because you could have just been miserable and found this job,
Well,
and then you
that's
would have
true.
just spent time being miserable.
Right.
Like, you didn't, like, psh, that's why I was saying it with the other person, with the miscarriage. It's like, always remember when y'all are like, I was just being cocky. It's like, what was it been better if you'd just been miserable?
No. No.
No. Beating
No.
yourself up, doubting yourself the whole way, that would have been so much better. I should have just been an asshole to myself. Like, not really.
No, but I think that's what I need to do. I think I just need to find a more realistic view of what's happening and not lean so much on, well, here's all the great things that are already happening, and
Yeah,
just
I mean,
really
you know,
focus on that.
though, because what I'm afraid that you're doing is you're going from extreme yay to extreme low.
That's
You're very
exactly
black
what
and
I'm
white about it. It's
doing.
like it's like I only have room for either being great or it's terrible. And it's like, look, there's a whole middle here where things are okay. Some things we love, some things we don't. Some things are going the way we thought they would, some things are not. We made trades to be close to these grandbabies. This is what comes with it. A house that's hard to sell. A job that doesn't make as much money. I could also be in Oregon in a house that I love and making money and also wishing I was by my grandbabies, thinking I should spend
Right.
more time with them, feeling
And that's where I
not
was.
being with them, you
And
know?
that's where I was, which is why we made this big transition. And now I'm like, well, I did that and it didn't get any better.
You just traded one pile of shit. Like, this is what always happens in life. It does. I always tell my team, there's never a right answer to any problem. Like, if we are going to solve a problem, if we're going to create something new, no matter, I don't care what I give you bitches. I mean, I don't care what it is. I could come and live with someone and say, I'm going to live with you, Katie, for the next year. By the end of the year, you're gonna have that 20 pounds off and you'll feel completely different about your life. You'd have something, you'd be like, and Corinne also, when she takes a poop in the morning, it stinks up the house. Like everything always has problems with it. And we have to remember that. That like everything I create for no BS, somebody's not happy. To somebody else, that's terrible. To this group, it's wonderful. And the same thing happens in life. It's like whenever you make a decision, I think we forget when we're excited about a decision, naturally, what do we see?
All the
All
good
the
things.
possibilities,
Right.
yes. And we forget, no matter what, every decision is always going to have unintended byproducts. And these are yours that you could have never anticipated, but you can absolve yourself of fault and blame. Your goal was to get here and be by the grandbabies.
And I did that.
That's accomplished. Now the goal is figure out how to sell that house. And if you want to make more money, but you might not want to make more money. Who knows? You just have to dig in on that.
Yeah, I love my job. So actually it's so easy and I come home with no stress. I mean, I think that's the
Okay.
thing, right?
So let me ask you this. Didn't we coach like a million times on charts back in the day? Was it
Oh
you
God,
who
probably.
didn't you used to like tell me about like the endless amount, like you couldn't leave work and it was because there was all these charts
Oh no,
and
that wasn't me. No.
I could have swore that was you. You weren't a nurse who had all
No,
these
I'm a,
charts.
no, educator.
Okay. I don't know. There's somebody I used to coach on charts. I thought if that's you, and you're getting to go home. What did you? Did we used to coach on you having to bring your work home and shit?
Yeah, because I was at work all the time. Yeah, because
Okay.
I had a high level job that had me working 365 for sure.
Yeah. So now you got a job where you just said, and I get to come home every night. You were smiling and you leaned into the camera. You need to remember when your brain wants to make a big deal out of you making less money, say, yeah, and I got less responsibility. I get less hours in a job that I felt stress and pressure under. It's like, yes, it's less money. It's also less this. And that's where we just show ourselves. There is always like lots of sides to every story. That's where the gray area is. The gray area is I have this and that. Black and white is I'm either making good money and hate my life, or I'm making low money and ashamed of it. Like, this is where we keep coming to the middle. And the middle is where thoughts are more balanced. They're nuanced. And then sometimes we'll get to a place where, like, you'll get to a place where eventually it will be, I actually do love this job and I don't care that I make less money. Like, eventually that will happen.
Yeah,
But it starts
sure.
with acknowledging there's a yin and a yang to this.
Absolutely. I already feel better. Thank you.
You're welcome. Just figure
I
out how
want
you
to.
want to be there for yourself on your heavy days, okay?
Well, and yeah, and I want to thank my accountability partners, Jody, Lisa, and Debs, because Jody's like, you need to get coached now. Like, it's time.
Yes, it is time.
It is time. Thank you, Corinne. I always appreciate your wisdom.
You're welcome. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. That is it for the day. Y'all have a good one. I will see y'all next week for more coaching at the 12 o'clock hour, 12 p.m. Central Time. So make sure you come, tell your friends, tag your buddies in the Facebook group, and we will just keep doing all the good things here at No BS. I am really determined to really show y'all the power of your mind this year, because I just believe that weight loss is going to happen between the 6 inches of your ear. The 6 inches of your ear is going to control this mouth. So y'all have a good one. Bye, y'all.